Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age. Wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's join, M-I-D-I.
Like, for playoff baseball leading into September, because once college football shows up, you're done on Sundays, you're done on Saturdays.
There's no doubt about it. No doubt about it. Yeah, the NBA did miss their boat on that. I thought starting a couple days before Christmas was that season. That was my first season doing a pregame show in NBC Sports Bay Area. I was like, this is great. I remember we were talking about Suns Bucks in the finals, and I was in Tahoe in the summertime. I was like, the bars are packed. Watching the NBA finals in the summertime. So to your point about that, sure. But I was just thinking, like, NLDS, there's no excuses for these teams. But I'd be a little ticked off. I was like, damn, they've had three games to get rolling here, three game series to move on to the next round. Best of seven in the NLDS, best of seven in the NLCS. Why not? Why not? Well, but you know what? It is what it is.
What I'd like to see them do, and I don't know if they'll ever do this, but I think it would be great, is I think those wild card opening rounds are, you know, where the three-game series, I think it should be a doubleheader on day one.
Nah, I don't know about that.
I'm open to all of these things. I think you gotta find a way to get the calendar shortened.
Yeah, I hear you.
You have
on that
to impact the calendar. That's the number one thing.
Because then you got to think about fans. Are they going to be there all day long? You got to take off of work or whatnot.
It's a television product.
It's tough.
It's a television product.
But on the flip side, looking at the Mets and the Phillies, and I'm watching Sean Manaea yesterday, and I don't think Sean Manaea had a great year a couple years ago with the Padres. He certainly didn't have a great year with the Giants. His back-to-back seasons, he had a 4.96 ERA with the Padres, 4.44 ERA with the Giants. But this year with the Mets, he's turned his career around. 12-6, 3.47 ERA. And you see him deal yesterday. And I'm talking to Lubman on the phone. I'm like, well, you see Sean Manaea? And he goes, well, he is one of the guys who wasn't happy with the way he was utilized with the San Francisco Giants. And it brings me back to the Will Clark clip where he says yesterday Farhan was writing out the lineup card. Well, not only was he doing that, he was setting the rotation, and how Bob Melvin or whoever last year, obviously Gabe Kapler, was how he's managing the rotation. This is a joke.
Well, this goes back to analytics versus human element. And like I hear the analytics. Okay, what analytics are you talking about? And people are like, well, Manaea's not good in the first inning, so we're just not going to pitch him in the first inning. We're going to bring him in in the second. Dog, you're overthinking it. What about him being comfortable and him being happy? What about him feeling like he's on normal routine? You know, because these guys have routines. If you've talked to any big league player, they all have their own routines, whatever it is. Some, like Jock Peterson, it was not doing much. And others, it's like this whole specific routine to get ready for a game. And, like, clearly Sean Manaea is more comfortable being a starter.
Seven innings yesterday, three hits, one run, six Ks. Absolutely shoved against the Philadelphia Phillies. And Pete Alonso hit another home run.
That ball set its own.
Lindor's balling.
The ball was crushed.
I mean, they are rolling right now. We saw New York Kenny, our boy New York Kenny's working for KCBS today. He was, like, tight. I was like, Kenny, smile a little bit. He was, like, tight, shook. And he goes, oh, it's a must-win for the Phillies. Well, I could argue that it's also a must-win for the Mets. You don't want to go back to Philadelphia.
No.
You don't want to go back to Philadelphia.
If they knock off the deal, Phils, oh.
You may get a Mets, Mets-Padres NLCS. Oh, you know what?
I'll be here
the
for that.
The swagger in that series, that's next level right there.
I'm so happy for Francisco Lindor. He was crushed for multiple years. I thought he was one of the best players in baseball in Cleveland. He got traded to the Mets, and he just stunk. I mean, I can't even defend it. He just stunk. And then he had that series against the Giants. You know, the Matt Chapman play. Everyone remembers. He hit like two or three home runs in that series, and I go, oh, Lindor's heating up. At the time, he was batting like 202. It was horrible.
You know what? His second year with the Mets, I'm just looking at the raw data. Yeah, well, I didn't watch every single Mets game.
Mets fans, like, he sucks.
Yeah, well, all right, the first year he struggled mightily. Yeah, 230 batting average, 20 home runs, 63 RBIs.
I mean, he's a switch hitting shortstop who can hit you 25 and bat near 300.
But in 2022, 161 games played. He did hit 26 jacks and drive in 107 runs. And
that's
he ended up batting 270. All right? His OPS wasn't too far off from what it was this season. So his second year with the Mets, it was actually better than we all misremember, because the New York media will say, oh, this guy stinks. He's actually put together back-to-back quality seasons. Actually, 2023, you know, 2022 was solid. 2023 was solid. And then right here in 2024, another 33 home runs. So I could say his last 3 years with the New York Mets has actually been very, very good. Now, I don't watch every single Mets game, so I don't know how quality it is.
But he's an excellent defender.
I see a guy who played 161, 160, 152, which tells me he's available. He's not injured. He's available to play every single night. 26, 31, 33, 107, 98, 91. Those are your RBIs right there. 270, 254, 273. So really, I don't know what the hell we were talking about, San Francisco Lindor struggling. Because now, looking at the raw data, 2022, 2023, 2024. Any Giants fans, if he had this year,
oh, we would go crazy.
We'd throw a parade for the guy.
We'd go crazy.
We'd throw a parade for a guy. So
I've been defending him. Have I not?
No, you have. But even go ahead, but think about what you just said. We all thought he stunk.
Well, that's what all my Mets friends said. He sucked.
Well, the last 3 years, I'm looking at the raw data. It doesn't look like he sucked.
Well, that's funny, because I follow him on Instagram. He's a good dude. He's a good dude. He's a good family man. And I watch his pregame routine on Fielding, because it's really good. Yeah. Like, I use it for some of the youth players. He's a Rawlings Oakley New Balance guy, okay? And so, you know, everything's about the swag and whatnot. And the guy uses a different glove like every other week. And I love gloves and stuff, so I'm all in on it. But I watch his routine and his dedication to the game. I'm like, this isn't a guy that just mails it in. Like, it's one thing if you get fat and happy and you're not working as hard. Because I know people talked about Machado, like, wow, he put on a lot of weight and he got bigger. I'm like, yeah, he still hits bombs.
Yeah,
still got a cannon.
I remember everybody freaking about that. I was like, Machado's going to be fine.
Yeah. He's got one of the strongest arms I've ever seen in my life. But not getting back to Lindor, the guy grinds at the preparation of baseball, and I respect guys who do that.
Well, he also has one of the most infectious smiles in the game.
No doubt.
His smile from when he first started with Terry Francona in Cleveland, and that I you know, I'm a sucker for these weird moments that don't even happen during a game. Game 3, Wrigley Field. They're at the time the Indians, but now the Cleveland Guardians. And they're doing the old starting lineups, you know, where all the teams line up on the white chalk or whatnot. So it's Francona there. And then it's Lindor with his smile. And I'm like, look at this guy smile, man. He's happy to be there. Then there's Jose Ramirez, who walks out. And it's like, who's this chubby guy, man? Who's this dude running out the dugout here? And Francona's just laughing and dapping up these guys. And it was like, wow, these two guys are cool. And that was kind of when I first laid my eyes on them during that playoff run, Jose Ramirez and Francisco Lindor. So you think about one of the great smiles for the game of baseball.
Yeah.
It fits New York City. And then now you got the Mets, who had the Philadelphia Phillies fighting for their lives today in an elimination game, which Citi Field in New York City and Queens, Petco Park down in San Diego, the Gaslamp District, are going to be on absolute fire. Absolute fire. But I'm very intrigued. One thing we haven't discussed, because the AL Central has been kind of an afterthought when it comes to divisions since the realignment. You got three teams in the American League that are coming from the AL Central. Three to four teams left in the playoffs are the Guardians, Tigers, and the Kansas City Royals. They play good baseball in the AL Central now, and that division kind of went through some up and downs, but look at all the talent within that division. The Twins, they blew it.
I know.
They blew it. You know, so you have four teams that competitive in the AL Central, so now you get the Tigers, and you get Alex Cobb on the mound for the Cleveland Guardians out there at, what do they call it, Comerica Park in Detroit. That place is going to be on fire. They love those young Tigers. They haven't been at home yet in these playoffs.
No.
And then you get the Yankees and the Royals at Kauffman Stadium. It's going to be a lot of fun as you're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM, and AC1 San Francisco, and Odyssey Sports Station. Always live on the Odyssey app. We got four great games today.
So, you know, going back to the Giants, like, you talk about Francisco Lindor. I know I'm a sick person, all right? And we heard about Luciano forever, and it didn't materialize. They are going to sign a 17-year-old who everyone is saying is the next Francisco Lindor. That's the guy's name is evading me right now, but they're on par to sign this guy. They've been targeting this guy for months. This is the guy they're going to sign. Switch hitting shortstop, about 6 feet tall, runs like the wind, hits bombs. That's the guy they're going to sign. But I'm watching these playoffs, and you bring up the Mets lineup, and you bring up the Royal lineup, and you bring up the Yankees, and obviously the Padres. Slugger after slugger after slugger. And I'm looking at the Giants, and I'm like, we don't have guys that people fear like that.
No.
And so even if they have to go and overpay for a guy to come in, I think you have to do it. You cannot have Matt Chapman be your four hitter next year.
Can't.
If he's your six hitter, and Ramos is your five hitter, and somebody else is your four, and eventually Bryce Eldridge is your three, or some combination of something like that. It just, that's how you win in these playoffs. Because you see, a Freddie Freeman could get hurt, and you could be done. You need multiple, like, just elite bats that other teams are fearing when they're on that mound.
You're talking about Johnny Level. Johnny Level. Johnny Level's a kid, I guess you're talking about. That's what Lubman said. Is that the name?
Johnny Level? No. I don't think so.
No, it's not it.
No.
He's 17-year-old shortstop out of Venezuela?
No, this guy is like Rodriguez. It's got four names. It's like hyphenated.
So 925, hey, the Dodgers, Comcast with a sex light. No Glasnow, no Stone, no Dustin May, no Gonsolin, no Kershaw, plus Freeman playing hurt, not to Mitchell Walker. The Padres don't have injuries, but don't act like the Dodger fans don't have a right to mention injuries when they look back. We're not ripping the Dodgers for their injuries. They do have injuries.
But you know what? They tried to go around the algorithm and give $68 million prorated to what's-his-face, Otani. He should be investigated by the FBI. That was wrapped up in 24 hours. It's ridiculous. And then Yamamoto deferred his money. I don't want to hear it, Dodger fans.
Nothing.
You can shut the hell up. And then why don't you act like real good fans? Stop throwing things at people and stop beating people up. All right, Dodger fans? Why don't you just shut up? I don't want to hear from Dodger fans. Shut up.
Also, we act like Glasnow's never dealt with injuries before.
His whole
we act
career.
Like Dustin May has never dealt with injuries before. We act like Kershaw's never dealt with injuries before. They're kind of injury prone.
They're calling him Tyler Made of Glasnow. Did you come up with that? I like that.
925. I like it. I like it. Did you pull that song up?
Meet the Mets. Meet the Mets. Step right up and greet the Mets. Bring your kiddies, bring your wife.
They don't do this anymore in sports. Can we bring this stuff back? San Diego Superchargers, meet the Mets. Give me all these. The Sixers song is really good.
Yeah, but it needs to be made by people that understand it's corny and old school.
Yeah.
It can't be made by rappers.
You don't need no rappers.
Stop doing rap songs about our sports teams.
There you go. Cleveland Guardians, a lot of good playoffs. We'll get back to the 49ers here. The Dodgers, man, on the brink. On the brink. Shohei Ohtani, they found nothing in the investigation, man. He's completely innocent.
Shohei's not going to jail.
Aren't you glad he didn't go to jail? You got to see a 50-50 season.
The FBI takes years to investigate people for crimes that are so small and that they open shut millions and millions of dollar case in 24 hours. Yeah, I'm not buying it.
By the way, four episodes through the Vince McMahon documentary. What a guy.
A lot of plastic surgery.
He doesn't look good at all. What's coming up on the game brought to you by Robert Half. Traverse War playing this week? We're going to hear from Shanahan. We'll hear from Kittle. We'll hear from Warner. We'll get back into the 49ers as we get Cam Emmon on at 8 o'clock. That'll be the first three guests today on the Rose, courtesy of the River Islands Guest Line. We'll be back.
it's Hyman from San Pablo, and you're listening to the Morning Roast with Vontae and Shasky on 95.7 The Game. Yo, Joe, stop interrupting!
Morning Roast, Shasky, Vontae. Gosh. I've been thinking about this long and hard. They play the Seattle Seahawks on a short week. People are going to say mathematically, it's just the dumbest thing in the world. It's not a must win. No way in hell. The players are already saying it, and I'm saying it too. I think for their psyche, and I think just looking at the end of the season in terms of like the toughness, they have to win this game, the 49ers, against the Seahawks on Thursday. Another week and another year where it's short. And a big trip up to Seattle drives me nuts that we have to go up there. But it is what it is. And I look at it this way and I say, like, I know the math and I understand that it's, you know, you're only a month and a half into the season. There's no such thing as a must win. You have to win this game. You would fall to 0-3 in the NFC West. You would fall to 0-4 in the NFC. You would basically lose a lot of tiebreakers. And yeah, there are other matchups that are out there, but you got to get some wins against some of these similar opponents. And I just think to get the train back on the tracks, knowing how difficult the back end of the season is, this one is must win. And I think psychologically they need this one. Given how hurt they are, how dinged up they are, they need some positivity in the worst way.
Nick Bosa, is it a must win?
It's a lot of pressure. It's not a must win because I'm stealing Kyle's team meeting thing because technically your season's over if it's a must win. But it definitely feels like it's retreated that way.
I think it's a must win. I think you got to have this game. I think for this team, this iteration of the team coming off that Super Bowl loss, dropping a 2-4 with Kansas City on deck, it's problematic. Because we know Kansas City right now is in the dome of the 49ers. There's no doubt. Mentally, they have an edge. They do. And they're going to game plan during their bye week. And Andy Reid is 28-3 coming off of bye weeks. It's just, it is what it is. You have to get to 500.
Andy Reid is what?
28-3 coming off of bye weeks.
Wow.
So.
Oh, my God. 28-3.
So.
28-3.
So, tomorrow, as the Niners are favored by 3.5, and the spread has actually gone up since the line is open, which means the sharp money's on the 49ers. And a lot of people, the experts, are putting money on the Niners to win this game tomorrow night. To me, it feels like an absolute must-win. You got to have it. You got to have it just to calm the waters. Think about Niner fans going into the weekend with the win. Going to the weekend with the win and being able to sit back, watch football, take a deep breath, get some guys healthy. Now, I don't know who's all healthy, but this is concerning Charvarius Ward. Mm. What's going on with him?
Do you have a timeline on Moody? Is IR a possibility?
It's a high ankle sprain, so usually with those, I usually say about a month. Sometimes they can surprise you and go quicker. Sometimes they can go longer. So we're not exactly sure yet.
So IR is?
IR is an option, yeah. Just with the how quick this has happened, having Huff in that situation where we got to decide Mooney could be a possible decision. We have a number of guys already on it, so we're just trying to weigh in all that stuff.
So, are you serious?
What? I must have missed that.
So he's got a high ankle sprain, and DK Metcalf, Jackson Smith and Jigba, and Tyler Lockett are on deck. So you're already compromised here. So for everybody who wants to see Renardo Green, well, guess what? You may be seeing a lot of Renardo Green this Thursday.
So let's, okay. Talanoa Hufanga has missed significant time this year. Yep. He's probably going to miss more with this hand injury.
He's out for the next month.
Okay.
So look at damage in the wrist. He's out for the next month.
So one starter. Hargrave, two starters. Ward is the third starter.
Greenlaw.
Greenlaw's a fourth starter. Who else? Who am I missing? I'm just defense
that's
alone.
That's about it. It's about it.
I mean, that's four
you
on that
Gross
side.
Matos?
Well, Gross Matos is a rotation.
Five guys on defense. One's the rotation. All right, let's go to the offensive side of the ball. Christian McCaffrey, huge element. They've already missed Kittle for a couple games.
Or one game.
One game, excuse me. Debo's missed, what, one or two?
One game.
Man, that's a lot of injuries, man. They're racking up. They're not alone. I mean, the whole league is injured right now, but...
Demetrius Flynn get fouls, a rotational player. He's not going to play.
Oh, and by the way, you're starting kicker.
Yeah, Jake Moody, so... You got some guys out. Woo! So now we're looking at
and maybe your potential fourth receiver, third receiver, and Ricky Pearsall?
Yeah, who the hell knows who he is? I mean, I have no idea. But DeAndre Lenore, Isaac Yiadom, Rocky Sin.
Who was not good.
Renardo Green.
Who had one snap on Sunday.
Those are the guys who are probably going to play against the Seattle bunch. This explosive wide receiver who, as Nick Sorensen said, they're top five in explosives. And explosives are plays over 20 yards or whatnot. These guys are explosive. So, Mooney Ward, again, I'm going to play that for everybody. Travarius Ward, who on Thursday Night Football, on Thanksgiving last year, on Thursday night in the hat and t-shirt game where Brock Purdy played with broken ribs. Shout out DK Metcalf. Shanahan on his timeline. Mooney Ward is probably out tomorrow. Or actually, this is Jake Moody. This is Jake Moody with the high ankle. Jake Moody. Travarius Ward, what's going on with him? Is he going to play? Is he going to play? No idea.
Oh, I thought you were going to play some sound. You were teeing it up for some sound. They just have to win. I was thinking about this. I was like, all right. To win this game, what's the one thing they have to do better that they haven't really done well the last couple of weeks, right? And I think tackling is what a lot of people might say. And I want to hear from the audience today. But I know exactly in my mind what I absolutely need them to be able to do to be able to win this game on Thursday. And it's very simple. Run the ball so that you can have the effective play action that feels like it's kind of gone away in the last couple of weeks.
Mooney Ward, excuse me, Travarius Ward. We got this mixed up here. Travarius Ward has a knee bruise. He was limited yesterday. But also, from what I'm hearing, he's not moving around very well.
Wait, okay, so Mooney was the one going to go on the IR. Oh, okay.
High ankle sprain. Gotcha. Mooney Ward has a knee bruise. Limited. Limited. Knee bruise, Travarius Ward, limited.
He hadn't been great this year.
But a knee bruise, and I think about the L.A. Rams game, where he was clearly compromised. Who was it? DeMarcus Robinson? He ran it out and up. And Mooney Ward just fell to the turf. And he had to leave the game.
He did a lot of running in that game.
So, 888-957-9570 is a number. Is this a must-win? And what do they need to do better? Well, tackling. See, the 49ers.
Is that gets your number one thing?
Well, that's not my number one thing. Okay. I think they need to do everything better. They need to score in the red zone. 9-22. All right? That's less than 50%. 9-22. My math serves me correctly. I'm not a math major. But 9-22. In the red zone.
Oh, I thought you were going to give me the percentage.
No, it's less than 50%. It's probably around 40%. I could do that. I could do it on the calculator. No problem.
I thought you had it. If I'm not a math major, it's 37.2%. I thought you were going to bust that out on me.
Let me see.
Like the Rain Man.
40%. 40.9%.
That's not good.
Yeah, that's not good at all. It's not good at all. So it feels like a must win, but they need to tackle better. They missed 15 tackles last Sunday. And this has been a team under Shanahan has been one of the best tackling teams in all of football.
29. Jennifer Lee Chan wrote an article about all the PFF grades. And the 29 over 2 weeks is like higher than any 2 week span that they've had in years.
Under Shanahan?
Yeah.
See, they've been the best tackling team.
I don't know. She just said years.
Yeah, they've been one of the best tackling teams in football. So you're not tackling better. You're not getting off the field on third down. You're not extending drives. You're not scoring touchdowns. You're turning the ball over. They need to do everything better. Everything. Block better. Situational football. You got to block in situational football. So it's up to these players. The scheme is what it is. The scheme is not changing. All right? This is the scheme. You know what scheme you're in. You've been here for a while. You understand the scheme. Players got to make plays on Thursday Night Football.
Well, I want to go to the offense. Brock threw his fourth interception against Baltimore. This Mike McDonald, who is the DC of the Ravens at the time, who's going to be the head coach of Seattle, or is the head coach of Seattle. Brock threw his fourth interception like a couple minutes into the third quarter, right?
Yes.
Okay. They were trailing they marched right on down the field. He threw that pick where Kyle Hamilton just totally, psyched him into it, and he was looking at Debo, and bang, he jumped in front, and it felt like everything just kind of collapsed after that. Everyone knows the in-cut routes are coming, and now they're trying to, beat that by throwing deep, mm-hmm. and which leads Purdy to holding the ball way too long. I think they need to go in the complete reverse. I think they just need to run the hell out of the ball this week. This is a week where I think you need to lean on Jordan Mason, and I think you need to lean on the run game, and you need to be as creative as possible and work off the play action from the run game. They need to dominate the trenches and get back to that and stop holding the ball and throwing the ball so much. They cannot have 40 dropbacks like they did in the game prior. And I know this is a different matchup. They've got a great secondary. I really fear, you know, I love Witherspoon. I think he's a beast. I fear them. I want to run the ball, Bonte.
Well, you know, it's funny. We get into touches. Bill's obviously 100 degrees in Santa Clara on Sunday. And you got two games in 8 days. Did you really want to run Jordan Mason 25 times and then turn around 3 days later and say, hey, run it another 20 times?
Had I won that game, I think my philosophy heading into this one would be adjusted. But you didn't, right. And so now it's like well, I get where you're going.
But no, this Thursday, the fact that you didn't give him 20 carries and, you know, you only have 14 carries on Sunday in that heat, now I can give him more carries Thursday night. If I had given Jordan Mason 20-plus carries on Sunday in that heat and then say, hey, turn around 3 days later after all that banging against that Arizona defense, then – are we going to give him another 20?
No, I think my philosophy would be different.
Yeah, you can't get this guy 40 carries.
But also, the vibe around the team would be different. And
there's no doubt. There's no doubt.
The time of 2-3.
Yeah, no doubt. But I'm just saying, it's almost a blessing in disguise that you didn't wear him out on Sunday, despite the loss, because now you can go a little extra hard with Jordan Mason on Thursday Night Football and give him those 20 carries. You ain't giving him 20, 25 carries on Sunday. There's no way in hell you're giving him 20, 25 carries tomorrow night against Seattle. Now you can do that. Now you can do that. So to your point about running the football, sure, absolutely. And Seattle's banged up front. They are. They got some guys out here, so you should be able to run the ball with the way the New York Giants ran the ball last week against Seattle.
Yeah, this is one where the offensive line has got to lean on them, and I think it's going to be a grinded out type of a game. It's going to be close. I mean, look, this Seattle team has built their roster to try to slow you down. I believe they got Jerron Reed and or whatever the guy's name, Reed in the middle, and Leonard Williams. Like, they've got nice personnel. Now, Owosu is not going to play in this game. That's a big loss for them, one of their outside guys. And he's kind of giving the Niners fit.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off. It's better
over here. Now at T-Mobile, get 4 5G phones on us and 4 lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on a required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
If your day sounds like...
we need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... you deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age. Wisdom, experience, and knowledge. Just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40... it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. MIDI clinicians are menopause experts. equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's join, MIDI.com.
Getting help for mental health shouldn't be as hard as it is. Mindful Therapy Group is here to make your mental health journey as painless as possible. Mindful partners with thousands of licensed clinicians to find the perfect fit for you, and also accepts insurance. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com.
He's been a physical player. So is this a Kittle game? I think it's a Jordan Mason game.
Yeah, I don't. It's just get a win game. I don't care who really bought. Like individual stuff. Who's gonna ball out here? Who's gonna ball out there? Just get the damn win. Now, to your point about holding on to the football and running routes outside the numbers or whatnot, Brandon Ayuk earlier in that football game ran a great. I don't know what the hell the route was called, but it was he faked the post. He stuttered. He went outside and pretty threw a dime, almost like a post corner. But I don't think it was a post corner. It was a skinny post corner. I don't know what the hell the route was. But it was beautiful, and it was outside the numbers. I need to see more of that. Stretch the team out. Stretch these defenses out. Make them guard every blade of grass. Don't just run the in-cut stuff. Just don't run the end routes and the drag outs because they know they're coming. Use every blade of grass on this football field. So, against McDonald, I do get a little worried about his defensive scheme because his scheme on Christmas night, now he had a different personnel with Baltimore. He had some ball hawks. They were all over Purdy at Cheddarhead. That is by far the worst Purdy's ever looked. And it was like he was seeing ghosts out there.
It's interesting because I was listening to various people talk about the 49er offense since that game. And one thing that defenses are doing, and we've talked about the man coverage, right? Man coverage is very important. That's what other defenses are doing to the Niners wide receivers. They're also identifying over the right side because he's a right-handed quarterback who's short, and they know if they can't get to him quickly, they stop and jump up because he's a shorter quarterback. And if you notice, a lot of the tip passes are coming from the right side, and they're going over right guard. Not that it's Pooney's fault or anything. It's just it's a byproduct of how they play football, where a lot of in-breaking stuff, he's shorter, you know, guys can't get home, so they stop, jump, and rush. And so you're seeing a lot of tip passes on that right side. It's very interesting, man. I'm not saying that people are figuring them out. There's just an adjustment that's been made, and now the Niners have to kind of adjust back, and I'm interested to see what that looks like.
Well, let's get into Purdy here, because Purdy spoke yesterday at the podium, and I want to get into this Purdy sound here. He talked about the balance of scrambling and throwing the football.
Yeah, I mean, I think it depends on the situation that we're in within the game and being smart with the ball, putting my team and my offense in the best situation possible. If I can make something happen with my legs and move the chains or get a positive gain, great, let's go. But at the same time, knowing that, you know, that's not going to be the case every time I'm scrambling around like it's backyard football. Like, I got to be smart, make a couple guys miss maybe, throw the ball away, being willing to play with third manageable rather than, you know, trying to make up for it after a 10-yard loss with a crazy scramble. So definitely depends on the situation, but also knowing that I have confidence and belief in my legs as well to make some plays in the right scenario. So fine balance.
Well, he's also asked why is he holding on to the ball so long? Here's what Purdy had to say.
I feel like there's just been some plays where I'm scrambling and stuff just because, like, what the defense is doing in terms of dropping eight and giving us some different looks in that regard. So for me, it's more been about keeping a play alive, and it's been good. And there's also been some plays, obviously, where, you know, we've had, you know, minus 10 or whatever from trying to scramble around and stuff. So I think those kinds of plays that pop up, so that maybe how that's affected the stats with that. But for me, I still go about my progressions and everything just like I have the last couple of years with our offense and our system. You know, I'm not going into a game going, all right, I'm going to hold on to the ball longer here and try to make something happen. It's how can I be efficient, help out the O-line, get the ball out of my hands, and do my job. But the teams that we've played, the schemes that we've played, I guess they've done some of that where they're dropping more back in the zone and making me go through my progression, and turns out I'm holding on to the ball.
He's holding on to the ball a lot. Now, will he hold on to the ball a lot tomorrow night? Here's what he had to say about McDonald's defensive scheme.
I'd say so. scheme is pretty similar and how they call the plays and stuff looks similar. Obviously, the personnel and everything is different, and so we just got to know which guys to look out for in certain situations. But, yeah, the scheme is very similar.
So that's Brock Purdy there about holding on to the football too long and trying to find the right balance there, and I think he understands it. He'll watch the film. He'll get the ball out quicker. But at the same time, during a scramble drill, Shasky, guys are not uncovering.
No.
They're not coming back to the football. So it goes hand in hand. He's buying time for you, which we love. We love when a quarterback extends a play.
Mm-hmm.
When are these receivers going to find an open spot?
I don't know. It's a great question. It's something they're going to have to absolutely work on. I mean, that's what made the Mahomes-Tyreek Hill thing so dynamic. It was not only is Tyreek just an absolute monster, but like Mahomes would scramble out, and then he'd just point a little, and then boom, he just hit him with a big one. You'd think that Ayuk would be a perfect player for that kind of stuff, wouldn't you?
You would think so.
So I'm looking at the last time that these two teams faced, which was Thanksgiving of last year. And we know that in the playoff the year before, Debo destroyed them in that playoff game, especially in the second half. And that's what led them to go take Witherspoon so high in the draft, is that they wanted to get somebody to man up against all of these receivers in this division. Debo was the one who had a really big game, but I'm looking at the run game. Debo went 7 for 79. Ayuk had the big touchdown, but really only two catches for 50. It was McCaffrey and Elijah Mitchell that really led the way in that game. And I'm looking at McCaffrey, 19 for 114 on the ground with two touchdowns, and then 5 for 25 in the passing game. Elijah Mitchell had 7 for 39 in that game. So, you know, Purdy only threw for 200 yards. This feels like, I know this is a different defense, but like I keep going back to like run the ball, short controlled passes. I think getting the ball out of your hands quickly and then trying to suffocate their run game. I don't think Kenneth Walker played in that game last year on the short week. It was Charbonnet getting the bulk of the carries. Yeah. So it's going to be a different look with Kenneth Walker out there for Seattle, but they didn't throw the ball well at all.
Well, you know, the first game they played Seattle last year, for example, twice in 3 weeks. They played them twice in 3 weeks. And the first game was up in Seattle, Thanksgiving night, right? Short week, Thanksgiving night, on the road, divisional game. And Purdy threw for the 209. Ayuk had his 2 for 50, as you just mentioned. But they ran the ball. They made plays. But it was short week on the road. You expected the numbers to be a little down on the road.
Against a road environment. An opponent that knows you.
Exactly. So a couple weeks later, the Niners play them at Levi Stadium, remember this game, and they went off offensively. Purdy threw for 368. I mean, they made the adjustment. They threw the ball all over the yard. All over the yard. They held the Seahawks down to 3.5 yards a carry, 3.5 yards a carry. McCaffrey had 145 on the ground. Samuel
145.
Had 145. Look at this.
Wow.
Got 145.
How many catches for him in that game?
Debo Samuel, 7 for 149.
He has just killed the Seahawks.
Brandon Ayuk, 6 for 126.
Wow, that's a big game.
Kittle, 3 for 76. McCaffrey only had one catch in that game.
Wow.
One catch, 8 yards.
And he had 145 on the ground. Wow.
So Ayuk and Samuel went crazy against Seattle. Crazy against them at Levi Stadium. So there's going to be opportunities to throw the ball, but you mentioned it needs to be a Kittle game, and he's had some monster days up there in Seattle. Monster days. Debo, you need to figure out what you're doing with Debo Samuel. It's time to get him reinvigorated into this offense.
I kind of don't want to hear this argument that he just can't beat man coverage.
Well,
there's got to be, like, if you have a player of his caliber and you know that he's not the greatest route runner, I think you as the play caller need to set up certain, he's moving in motion under a bunch formation, you know, you mesh things up a little. I'd like to see them get a little creative to get him the ball and get him going.
Well, 707 here with a stat, and we could fact check this.
I'd love to hear it.
But I've seen the stat floated around here, and I do believe it without even fact checking it, but 707. Comcast Business Text Line. Niners receivers are getting 2.8 yards of separation from DBs. That is 30th in the league. Purdy's extended plays with his legs because his receivers aren't getting open. I think there's an element there. I think there's some truth to that. The receivers aren't uncovering right away. Go ahead, Spadoni.
I was going to say, no, I was going to get in your ear, Bonte. I apologize for that. But Baldy talked about that yesterday when he joined you guys on the Morning Roast about why Purdy has to scramble so much, and I'll play the cut. It's because guys aren't getting open.
Well, I mean, the only reason why a quarterback holds the ball is because he's waiting for somebody to get open. You want to get rid of it quicker. Now, you can, like, Ayuk ran a couple of good routes the other day. He's playing much better.
He looks good.
Where the ball's out there on timing, and you could say he's throwing him open, but it's a timing play. He knows where Ayuk separates at the top of his routes extremely well, and he did on Sunday, and they got the ball to him on timing. But, you know, some of these routes in this game, he's holding it because he's waiting for somebody to beat one-on-one coverage.
So guys just aren't getting open. So the book is out. Again, Arizona loves the quarters defense, the zone defense. They played a lot of man on Sunday. Kansas City in the Super Bowl played a lot of man. All right? These teams are playing a lot of man against the 49ers right now. And that's why the whole Ricky Pearsall deal about who he is or what he is or what he could do for this offense, we have no idea. But he was drafted because he could beat man coverage. He's tough to jam at the line of scrimmage. He could get separation. So right now, these guys aren't beating man coverage, and that's a problem.
Oh, it's a big problem. It's a big problem. But, like, this is where you have a coach making $15 million or $20 million on the sideline. This is where you got to earn your money. You got to find a way. With these high-priced weapons, I kind of don't want to hear that individuals aren't getting open. You've got to do a couple of things to switch it up and give some guys some free releases. I hear that,
but players got to make plays, Shasky.
Yeah,
this can't all be on coaching. You can't beat man coverage. You know what? Then you shouldn't be playing.
Well, but a case in point, in the McVay game, right? Like, for example, they had lesser receivers out there who aren't great man beaters, and they're running these routes where two guys at the top of the route are splitting in opposite directions and creating chaos, you know? Right. Or they're doing these drags where guys are forcing, you know, linebackers or safeties or whatever to cover a guy that they know can just run across the field. It's very difficult to cover someone on a drag or a crosser. Like, there are certain things you can do, no even doubt. If a guy is quote-unquote slower. It's not just a, hey, let me run a slant.
No, no doubt.
You know what I mean? Like,
no,
I think there are things that you can do schematically.
But they're not getting open anywhere.
I mean, when was the last time you saw Debo in particular go in motion on one side of the formation and come dragging across the formation on a short, shallow crosser?
They've been on that a little bit, though. They've been on that. They've been on Debo with the short, shallow stuff. They've been on him. So
on the power slants.
On the power slants, drag routes. I mean, I think they're running more routes than just slants. These guys aren't the data is the data. They're not getting separation here. So at some point, the player's going to have to take some pride into it and say, you know what? I need to beat my man in front of me. You're not winning your individual matchups. So coach can only do so much. He could draw up the play, design the play, but at some point, the player's got to say, I got to win my individual matchup.
I
got to win my one-on-ones.
Can you understand where it's hard for me to hear, like, a guy making top money in a position at tight end, a guy making really good coin at wide receiver, they just can't get open. They're just not good at it. I mean, I don't even want to hear that.
Well, they're not getting open. They're not getting open. So, I mean, it's not that they can't do it. They can do it. It's not like every single play they're getting shut down in man coverage. They are uncovering at times. Obviously, Purdy's had some success doing that. Guys are getting open, and Shanahan schemed them open at times. However, you got to take pride in just winning your individual matchup, too. At some point, we got to put some of this on. It can't all be coaching again.
No, I'm not saying it's coaching, but I think there are strengths and weaknesses to all these different systems and schemes and things. And their drop back passing game isn't great. This is why I go back to the run. They're the best when they run the ball and it's second and short or third and short, and they're opening up the playbook with various play action stuff. Like, that's
no doubt.
That is when they're at their most optimal. Okay. And so that's why I keep coming back to run the damn ball. Stop trying to go 4 and 5 wide and drop back passing. That's not what this roster is great at. This roster is great at is running the ball down your throat, getting under center, doing some play action stuff, and dropping it downfield.
Let's go to Zach in Redwood City. What up, Zach?
Hey, what's up, Bonte? What's up, Shasky?
What's up, Zach?
How are you doing?
Good, good, good.
I need a win in the worst way tomorrow.
I know, same. Hey, first of all, I just want to, I'm not sure if you guys have talked about the Saleh firing, but it's definitely more wishful thinking, but I see a lot of Niners fans out there hoping for a reunion, and I don't think that's coming at all.
Yeah, I don't know if that's happening right now, Zach. I think you got to just trust the coaches that are here right now.
yeah, absolutely. But here's my point, and I need to go off Shasky here. You got to run the ball. tomorrow and then go off the play action. And then you can see in the previous games against Seattle that running the ball has worked. And I know that we don't have McCaffrey. But here's my point. I know you talked about the shallow routes, the shallow crossing routes. Is when's the last time we saw a screen play? Like, I know that McCaffrey's not in the backfield, but we need a screen play with our running back and J.P. Mason, you know? Like, and my last point here, and I'm sorry for spieling, but, you know, I can't tell you how many times we've seen a pitch play, and I'm pretty sure it was a pitch play to the left with Trent Williams leading, which was very predictable, in my opinion, where J.P. Mason fumbled. So,
yeah, you know, the screen thing is interesting because I've been calling for it. They did, it was early in the game, but they hit a Debo on after the Ayuk play on this like quick little hitter where Ayuk was blocking. I don't know. It could have been offensive blocking or whatever they call it, offensive pass interference, because he was blocking before he even had the ball in his hands. But they hit him on a quick one. I was like, yeah, let's go. But when you have Debo on the edge like that, people know you just want to throw that quick hitter to him.
Yep.
They do need to mix in the screen game to slow up the pass rush.
Yeah, I do want some screen game. Now, when it comes to running the ball, and
it's their bread and butter.
Well, but you know what, though? You know what? The 49ers are fifth in the league in rushing attempts. They're fifth in the league rushing attempts. They're averaging 4.6 yards a carry. So, and that's, you know, that's kind of down from where they're usually at. They're like outside of the top 10. They're about 12th when it comes to rush, yards per carry. 4.6 overall as a team. As a team. Now, overall in terms of rushing yards, they're 7th in the league in terms of rushing yards per game. So this big misnomer that they're just getting pass happy here, nah, I get it. Some scrambles are factored into this when on some pass plays, but they are still kind of running the football here. It's not like they're just dropping back in five wide sets saying, hey, we're going to beat Joe Burrow to Cincinnati Bengals and throw it 45 times.
No, but I'm saying in this game, this is, we're just going off this one last game. If you account for the Purdy scrambles as non-designed runs, right, because those are broken plays, you drop back 41 times in the game. And now we can go individually into each particular drive and as to why they did it or whatever.
It's game flow.
I know, but I'm just saying, like, the coach himself has says, I want to get to 37 carries a game, you know, and you're stuck with, I think, 21 or 22, like, legit rushes. So it's just a little out of whack. It's 1 week, though.
Right. It's 1 week. Yeah, it's 1 week. I wouldn't overreact to that. But at the same time, maybe Shanahan was thinking about the short week in Seattle. And I know you can't look ahead, but imagine. So if they gave J.P. Mason in that game 20 carries, do you really want to give this guy 40 to 45 carries in 8 days? Two games in 8 days and two divisional games that are very physical?
My philosophy would be different had they won the game. Like, you have to win the game you're in first before you can look ahead to the other one. So I would have a different, you know, philosophy heading into it.
No, I hear that if you won the game or whatnot. But if you won the game and then you're playing in Seattle, it's going to be a body bag game again. Divisional games are physical. They're different. All right? So do we want to wear J.P. Mason out or not? He plays a physical brand of football.
Bonte, I don't think they have a choice. I just don't think they're good enough. I don't think they have a choice. I think they have to ride him. There's no other. Like, what's the alternative?
Let's go to Ryan in Irvine. Ryan, what's happening?
Hey, good morning, guys.
Good morning, Ryan.
Good morning. Hey, I agree with you guys. I think one of the biggest keys to winning on Thursday is going to be time of possession. Because You look at our defense right now. It's so banged up. I don't think Mooney Ward is going to play. That's really scary. The Seahawks air attack is pretty scary, you know. So the best thing I think we could do is time of possession, control the clock, have some really good sustained drives that take time off the clock, give our defense time to regroup, focus. And then I'm going to say two things that are maybe – like opposing each other, but Kyle, don't get too cute when you're driving down the field. Just run the ball. The circumstances dictate what you need to do here. Debo needs to be used more in the backfield. Like him and Mason, this is a body bag game, you know, like use him in the backfield. And then when you get in the red zone, that's when you need to be more creative. When it starts to get condensed, okay, yeah. You use the running game all the way down the field. When you get into the red zone, can you get, like, some kind of natural rub plays? Like, you see Kansas City doing it, you know, like, can you do something to kind of get these guys open and execute in the red zone? And because we have we signed a kicker off the, you know, like putting him in that hostile environment for his first start, like that's kind of scary. You know?
There's no doubt it's scary.
You know, it's interesting, right? But the pick plays, the rub plays, like Peyton Manning was talking about his most dynamic teams, whether it's Denver or Indianapolis. He's like, dude, we just to run pick plays till we're blue in the face at the goal. But again, when you have Reggie Wayne and Marvin Harrison and Dallas Clark.
You know what? You got Deebo, Jawan Jennings, Kittle, and Deebo Samuel. You could probably run some pick plays here and get some guys open.
His point was, Peyton was like, yeah, okay, you might call it once in a game, like the referees.
Right.
You're not calling it four times in a game.
It's just like offensive holding.
Exactly.
You're not going to do it all day
long.
And
he was like, I would just do it to, like, and it doesn't even have to be that perfect. It's just enough to just kind of, like, get in front of someone because it's such a short area throw. The other thing, and I'm getting to this point with this team, the best defense might be their offense. And I don't know, we talk about complimentary football, and sometimes, like, the best kind of offense isn't an explosive score in four plays offense. It's kind of like control the ball and just, like, play keep away. And as much as I love the 30-yard bombs and the 40-yard bombs, and those are great scoring quickly, it's better when you have an elite defense. When you have a crummy defense, you kind of want to play a little ball
control.
That's
what I'm saying. Your best defense may be your offense. We talk about this in the NBA all the time. We talk about this with the Niners, and especially late last season. Your best defense was your offense because they could score at will. They could do it with clock-controlling drives. But you know what? I'm not going to scoff if you get some one-play drives. To hell. Get some home run hits. Get some grand slams. Give me a deep shot here that goes for 70. I don't mind that as well, but Josh on 580 thinks the Niners need a gritty win. They need to get down and dirty and get a victory. What up, Josh?
What up, fellas? Yeah, man, they got to get one. I think right now what I'm sensing, I don't think they've played that good, but I think they played that bad. They played where they should, again, technically be 4-1. I think what's happening to them right now is just that Super Bowl hangover feeling, and it kind of reminds me of what the Warriors kind of had last year, not like the Super Bowl, but just that feeling that when it's fourth quarter and it's a close game, everybody seems to get tight. The energy leaves the sidelines. There's not as much rah-rah. There's not as much excitement. Everybody seems to get tight, and you can kind of feel it. And it's kind of like, oh, we lost the Super Bowl close. Now we're losing against the Vikings in a close game. We lose against the Rams in a close game. We lose against the Cardinals. It keeps happening over and over again. It's kind of what the Warriors went through, where it's just like now it's just seeping into their mental where they got to find one to get a gritty win on Thursday.
That's a good point.
I think it's going to be a divisional game. They're going to grind it out. It's going to be a battle. And they got to find a way just to get a win, just to get the mindset right. You know what I'm saying? The talent is there on the team. The offense can play. The defense isn't as bad. If you look at the score, they haven't given up 30 points this season. They're giving up, you know, the high of 27, and that's
the situational
terrible, you know
stops.
They're playing okay. They just got to find a way to win in the fourth quarter. That's where we're at right now, and you just can't get tight. You got to play loose. I think part of that is Drake Greenlaw. I think the energy that he's bringing, Trent Williams, Deebo, the energy is not the same for whatever reason because they feel like, you know, they've been there, you know, 2 years in a row to the NFC Championship, to the Super Bowl, and now they're kind of just trying to, like, lollygag through the regular season, and it's like it's kind of catching up to them. They got to bring the heat. They got to bring the energy. If they bring that, they'll win these gritty games and get that mindset right. I just think that's where they're at right now.
No doubt about that. Great call, Josh. Great call, and I'm with you there. Just get a win. Get a gritty win. You're right about the defense here, but the situational defense, Shasky, to your point, I think about Minnesota. You're down 20-14. They eat up 6 minutes and 46 seconds on a drive to kick a field goal to ice the game. You think about the L.A. Rams in the fourth quarter. Did whatever the hell they wanted to do against your defense, so they're not getting stops in critical situations. Last year, it flipped. In the first half, you were getting roasted, and in the second half, you made your adjustments and you slowed things down to give your offense a shot to win a football game. Right now, the defense isn't getting it done in the second half and in the fourth quarter of football games. Real quick, Shasky, before we get to the injury report, let's get your favorite guest on. BPA, Brian and Palo Alto.
Oh, that was Father Patrick.
No, Father Patrick loves me.
He texted me yesterday.
He loved me, huh?
He was like, I hope your audience wasn't bored to death with me.
No, he agreed with everything I said.
He loved the show. I told him he is the first father of the roast.
He agreed with me. Prayers could be used for anything. BPA, what's happening?
He did agree.
Yo, what's going on?
Buddy?
Yo.
I don't know if you saw Kyle toss Sorensen out for a press conference yesterday, and it was not impressive. I don't know if you watched it, but
I did.
That was a dude with zero confidence or swagger or self-belief, was my take. And if it's not tightened up this week, I'm going to predict he doesn't make it another week.
Hey, BPA, real quick, don't lie.
Yeah.
Steve Wilkes had a lot more swag at the podium, huh?
You know what? I'm gonna admit defeat on that one, and Bonte wins
again.
Bonte
wins again. BPA, all I do is win.
There's winning battles and winning wars, and you won the war on that one. And so, congratulations on that. I take Steve Wilkes in a New York minute. So, unfortunately, Robert Sala, Brandon Staley, anything, man. Like, so get somebody who knows how to coach defense and stuff.
Oh man,
there's not a doubt in my mind. That Brandon Staley is somewhere like going excellent, like he's Mr. Smithers.
I'm gonna ask KBaby, what is Brandon Staley's role? I would ask him straight up, what is his role? Because that's something we need to monitor moving forward. It's a big game for Kyle Shanahan, maybe a bigger game for Nick Sorensen.
Is this a Chris Carter situation?
Fall guy? Well, Steve Wilkes was that last year. Remember that? He was that last year.
Why are you laughing?
Because it's just
because BPA said he was right.
I can honestly say I'm sort of built for this.
No.
We had Father Patrick tell him he was right, and then we had BPA tell him he was right.
No, it's not about being right.
It is.
Hi, how are you?
When I put something out there in the stratosphere, people are so quick to come on my dome and say, that's a dumb take, Bonte. Bad take, Bonte. You don't know what you're talking about. I was like, well, it's a take. Let's see how it ages. And
don't give me false equivalency.
Did it get healthy?
Oh. It's time for the injury report.
That really hurt.
Brought to you by Boxer and Gerson, Northern California's premier workers' compensation law firm, helping injured workers get their lives back for over 40 years.
My takes are aging like an E40 red wine, baby. Let's go. Like some good old wine for Visa Tui up there in Napa. That's right. That's right. Ain't no two-buck chuck over here. All right. Don't be muttering. Saskia, what you talking about?
I can honestly say I'm sort of built for this.
Hey, you know it's sad. You know it's bad. Saskia's mic is off. I have headphones on. My volume's up pretty high, and I can still hear him talking down the line. You might be the loudest person I've ever met, and I'm not mad at it. Talanoa Hufanga. One of the biggest disappointments this season.
Just keep going. Hey, come on, we got this break. Come on, you're a TV star. You should be used to people doing things in your periphery while you stay on focus. You know what you are? You're turning into Ken Dorsey. You're not Joe Montana. Some people, it slows down. For you, it speeds up. Come on, Ken. Rip the ball.
Just sell and just fire everybody.
Who's hurt?
Hufanga. You want to say it?
Hufanga?
Yeah, there you go. Dealing with torn ligaments in his wrists. He's going to be out a month, possibly longer. Now this guy just can't help himself.
Please stop talking to me, Chasky. Under your breath. Finish the damn report.
He can't help himself. He can't help himself. Oh, who fuck? Going to IR could be in the cards. Though no official decision has been made. Look at the Edward before Cam Emmett on the other side of the injury report brought to you by Boxer and Garza, Northern California's premier workers' compensation law firm. Helping injured workers get their lives back for over 40 years. What's coming up on the game brought to you by Fremont Bank, celebrating 60 years of full service banking with no compromises. It's better
over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to 4 lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Struggling with mental health shouldn't be the norm. At Mindful Therapy Group, we specialize in connecting you with compassionate therapists to find the perfect fit for you. Mindful Therapy Group accepts most health insurances. Visit mindfultherapygroup.com to start your mental health journey today.
Oh, O'Reilly.
What?
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld at Odyssey Podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.